If you can open up to two places, we've been in this series called Matters of the Heart, okay? Matters of the heart that worships. This is this morning. We're going to talk about the heart that worships. This is our theme verse for this whole series. It's going to take us into Christmas. Proverbs 4:23, and it says this. Watch, now get this, we've been covering this thing because this is so real and it's so serious. Watch over your heart with all diligence. That word watch, military term, guard, protect your heart. This is the matters of the heart. The heart is who you really are, your inner person, your character, your emotions. This is the deal. Watch over your heart with all diligence. That means intensity. This is how God is putting this. Listen, your heart, the matters of your heart, life. That's life. For from it flow the issues or the springs of life. This is so real. I'm telling you what, this series, if you stick with this series and you're consistent in coming, I'm telling you what, this is like top 10, man. This is going to be rearranging our lives when we recognize what's really in my heart. And when God begins to deal and God begins to reveal and things start coming up that maybe we just didn't even know were in our heart. So listen, I've got to guard that. I got to protect who I am. I got to protect my inner person because from my heart flows life, flows everything and the issues of life. And we are hitting this thing called the matters of the heart. And this morning, we're talking about worship. Last couple of weeks, God has just really been putting in my heart in regards to having a release in worship. The people of Believers Chapel to have this release in worship, to understand worship on a more mature level. And I tell you what, this morning on a scale of 1 to 10, it is a 10. You got to get this. You got to understand this. This is one of those deals where you're going to walk out challenged. I told you in the beginning of this series, we're going to challenge you. And man, I tell you what, God is just doing some amazing things, even from last night from the message, and just really rearranging the way we think and the way we see what He says about Himself and what He says about us. That pretty much covers everything. That we would see God for who He really is, not what we think or not what we've been told, but what the Bible says, how He reveals Himself in Scripture, and then what Scripture says about us and the real deal of what's in our heart. And it comes down to the heart of worship. What does the heart look like is a heart that understands worship. Let's get into this thing. Two scriptures this morning, Matthew 15 and 2 Corinthians 4. If you can turn to 2 Corinthians 4, put a marker, please, and then we will get over to Matthew 15. Come on. 2 Corinthians 4, put a marker, and then Matthew 15. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And then we will go to Matthew 15 right now. Let's just pray. I'm asking that you would ask God that you would hear this morning. I'm asking that you not just hear from me. I'm asking that you seriously come before God, open your heart, and say, speak to me. God, speak to me this morning. Father, we know that your word is alive and powerful. God, we know that your word reveals you. It gives us who you are, who your character is, and how great, mighty, and powerful you are, how you have always been and always will be. God, we see it in Scripture. Father, your word is truth, and we need to believe your word. Father, I'm asking as we open your word this morning that you would speak to every single heart. Man, woman, and child that is in this room this morning. God, that you would speak to us today. Father, I'm asking that every eye in this place would be open to see. The blinders would fall off, that we would see maybe for the very first time what we need to see about you and worship. Father, I'm asking that every heart would be wide open this morning, would be like a sponge receiving your word. God, it would be planted in our lives and in our hearts this morning. And it would grow 30, 60, 100-fold. We walk out of this place different in greater faith. Father, I ask that our understanding, our mind, would be made clear. And that we would understand that you're teaching this morning in a very clear way. No distractions. Nothing gets in the way. That God, we hear it. And we understand it. Speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Matthew 15 says this. And again, we are going to be talking about the heart that worships. Please read along with me. Verse 7 says this. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This is Jesus speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. This is Jesus having a conversation with those who were the religious leaders of the day. These were the ones who served in the temple. These are the ones who read the law. That means the Old Testament. These were the ones who the people looked up to as the spiritual leaders, as the one who understood Scripture, magnified Scripture, spoke out Scripture, led them in the way of a spiritual leader. And look at this. Look at what Jesus says. This is huge. Look what Jesus calls these mighty spiritual men. Fakes. He says, you're fakes. He says, you're hypocrites. You know what this word hypocrite means? It means like a mask that is like an actor who they would cover their face with a mask. This is what he's telling them. He's like, you wear a mask oversized your face so that everybody sees this mask, and that's the picture that they see of you. But you take that mask off and you really reveal who you really are. This is what that term hypocrite means. It means you are a fake. You are presenting something that all people see, and then you remove that, and you're a fake. Could you imagine Jesus speaking to the scribes and Pharisees in this way? Could you imagine Jesus in his boldness, in his confidence, in not being ashamed or not ever having to apologize ever for anything that Jesus... I never, ever see Jesus in how he just comes unglued at times with untruth. Not once has he ever apologized. Isn't that amazing that you and I, at times, we look at Scripture and we stand firm in Scripture, and we need to do it without an apology. We need to look at Scripture and say, I'm not worried about political correctness. I'm not worried about the world thinks. I don't worry about what my neighbor thinks. I'm going to stand on this, and I'm not going to apologize for it. And I'm not going to be ashamed. Gang, this is where we need to be in our faith. If we really look at these pages and say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe your word is truth. And yes, I believe that we ought to live out truth. That we need to take Jesus' example here, who came against some of the most powerful leaders of the day, was not ashamed, was not quiet about it, and he never apologized for it. He looks at them, says, y'all are a bunch of fakes. You're just hypocrites. Look what he says. Look at this. For this people honors me with their lips. Got great lip service. Everything you say sounds real good. Look at this. But your heart, this is the matter of the heart, but your heart is far from me. You honor me with your lips, your religious leaders, the ones who all these people looking up to, you who wear that mask, you've got great lip service, you got great posture, you wear the long robes, you're in the right place, everything looks great on the outside, but your heart, what matters most, who you really are, your heart, not even close, far from me. Look at this, look what he says. But in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines the precepts of men. Now look at this, in vain. You know what this word vain means? It means with no purpose. Because your heart is far from me, because you don't understand the issues of the heart, because you honor me with your lips, but that which really matters, that which matters most, is far from me. He says, there is no purpose to all of these. Were the religious leaders. Everything you do for the church, everything. Look, these guys tithed. They bragged about how much they tithed. They led people in worship. They led people in church. He says, everything that you've done in the church has been useless, has been no purpose, because what matters most, your heart, far from me. All your worship, all your service, useless. Wouldn't that be awful? Wouldn't that be just terrible? That we come in, we have the great posture, hands in the air. Some might be on their face. And yet our heart, who we really are, far from Christ. Amazing. But in vain, with no purpose, manipulation, do you worship me? These religious leaders, they hated Jesus. They hated Jesus. They saw his miracles. They saw his authority, didn't like his authority. They understood that he did make claims to be the king. He made claims to be the Son of God. They just totally went nuts when they heard that. But yet over and over and over, there were so many that said, he is the Messiah. He is the king. He's the one we've been waiting for. There were many, and they were growing, and they were growing, and they were growing, that their eyes were open. They saw it. They recognized who Jesus was. Please get this. 2 Corinthians, you got to see this. 2 Corinthians 4. Why is it that so many scribes and Pharisees didn't see? Why is it that so many people today just absolutely reject Christ as king? There's no way. There's no way I'm going to believe in God. There's no way I'm going to. Yes, I might believe that there is a God, but I certainly don't believe that there was Jesus. Or maybe he was just a prophet. But he certainly wasn't the Son of God. Certainly wasn't the Savior of all world. Certainly wasn't that one who was perfect, who put himself on a cross and died for all mankind, for all sin, past, present, and future. No way. Look, this is one of those verses that if you would understand it this morning, it'll change your view. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says this. In whose case the God of this world, gang, this is Satan. This is the enemy. He is the prince of power. He is the authority of this air. This is Satan. This is his whole clan of demons. His whole one-third of the angels kicked out of heaven with Satan, left with Satan, And this is thousands and thousands, could be millions of angels. We have no idea the amount of number of angels. What we do know is there's hundreds of millions possibly worshiping Christ. So we know a third is a good number. So here, the God of this age, the one who is the present power of this age, the one who is a very, very real enemy to the church, and he's a very real enemy to you and I. He's a very real enemy to God, but God could knock him out at any moment. He's a very real enemy to mankind. He hates mankind because we were created in the image of God, and he hates God. And we look at this and we say, okay, we get it, Sean, we get it. Bad guy. He's the bad guy. God's the good guy. Jesus is the hero. We're the ones who need saved. We get it. But look at this. In the case of the God of this world, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. It is his purpose to blind the minds of the unbelieving. This is so huge. Then he wants to put the blinders on the unbeliever. What is it? If this is so critical, what is it that he doesn't want the unbelievers to see? What is the one thing? Get this. What is the one thing that he does not want unbelievers to see? Look at this. He blinded the eyes or the minds of the unbelievers so that what? They may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. If the one thing that he wants to blind the mind, he does not want people to see or understand the glory of Christ, the glory of the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is in all his glory. Put up the definition of glory. This is this is one of the big words of Scripture. You see it from beginning to end. You got to understand what this word means. You can't just rip through glory and think, yeah, that's a nice word. This is what it means by glory. Dignity, it means worthy of respect. Dignity, honor, and worship. When we recognize the word glory and it signifies one who has dignity, honor, and calls us to worship, why? Majesty, splendor, excellence, radiant, brightness, magnificent, power, authority, infinite perfection, unlimited, unmeasurable perfection. This is what Satan wants to do. Is never allow people to see just how powerful, how magnificent, how excellent, how glorious Christ and God is. Because, gang, listen, when somebody sees the magnificence and excellence and glory of Christ, who is the image of God, they see the excellence and glory and magnificence and all power and all authority of God Almighty, they cannot be the same. He will do everything in his power to blind the minds and blind the eyes so the unbeliever never, ever sees the glory of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. For God, who said, light shall come out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts. Gang, it's a matter of the heart shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where does that knowledge come from? It's a matter of heart. Why does it say guard your heart, protect your heart with intensity? The number one of this message is this. If you are going to have a heart that understands worship, your heart must understand the glory of God. It must understand that God is all-powerful, God is majestic, God is splendor, God is authority, God reigns, God is... When we start going through the majesty and the excellence and the authority and the radiance and the brilliance of God, the enemy hates that because now we are beginning this proper picture of God. And if we're going to have a heart that worships, we have to understand His glory. And it comes from our heart. The one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We understand His glory, His power, and His presence. Listen, I want to show you this. Turn over to Revelation, please. Last book of the Bible, Revelation 4. I want you to see this picture. It's an amazing picture. What is taking place in heaven. It's an amazing picture. And I often ask, okay, well, once we actually recognize and see God in all His glory, gang, the Bible is very clear. When God creates the new heavens, the new earth, the sun is no longer necessary because His brilliance, because His brightness, because His glory will illuminate everything without need of the sun. This is how we can't even fathom, we can't even begin to think. What is that brilliance? What is that power like? His glory. And this is a picture of what will we do in His presence. Here's a picture of there are those who are in His presence now, and this is their response. Look at Revelation 4, verse 1. After these things, this is John. He's been taken up into the heavens. He's seeing a picture of what is taking place in heaven. Amazing picture. When you see this, you're thinking, King, I want you to begin to picture God. I want you to begin to picture and understand His glory and His splendor and His excellence and His authority. This is God who is now our Father as we've come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. This is God who is now on our behalf, who is always good for us, who is always good to us. This is God who knows everything about us. Look at this. This is huge. You got to see this. And after these things, I looked and behold, the door standing open in heaven and the first voice, which I heard like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me. Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Look at this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and the one sitting on the throne, this is God, Almighty, all-powerful God. And he was sitting, and he who was sitting was like a jasper stone. This is like a clear stone with just brilliant colors coming from this clear stone. And he was like sardius, that fiery red in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Now look at this. Look at this throne room. It's amazing. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. I mean, you just imagine this scene that's taking place with Almighty God sitting on the throne. There is thunder and there is lightning and it is powerful. I mean, how just thinking about that, how don't you just go... Wow, awesome, amazing, incredible. That's the throne, that's what's taking place around God Almighty. Verse 6, and before the throne there was something like a sea of glass. He couldn't even describe it. There was something like, it was like, I don't know, it was like, I guess like this huge sea of glass. I mean, it's hard to describe. It was like something like a, I mean, could you imagine trying to describe this? It was like crystal. In the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in the front and behind. Now look at this, verse 8. The four living creatures, each one of them having six wings full of eyes around and within. Day and night do not cease. Gang, this is presently taking place. Day and night. This is the throne room. This is what is taking place around God Almighty, Jesus Christ at His right. This is the scene of what is the throne room is like. Unbelievable. Look at this. Day and night, they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and to Him who lives forever and ever, and the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever. And they will cast our crowns before him, saying, worthy are you, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. Revelation 5, you have another scene. This is the deal taking place. And when I looked, I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, living creatures and elders. The number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands and thousands. That's millions, folks. 10,000s times 10,000s times thousands and thousands. Millions. Could you imagine millions of angels in this throne scene? They're all saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. The angels get it, folks. Even the angels who didn't need to be saved. Even the angels who were God's creation. Even the angels get it. Millions crying out with a loud voice. What about us who are his creation, who fell, who were in desperate need of Jesus, desperate need of salvation? The angels don't even need to be saved, but we do. And they get it. They're crying out, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. How much more should you and I understand that worthy is Jesus? Without Jesus, I have no hope. Without Jesus, I'm done. Without Jesus, I'm bound for hell forever. Without Jesus, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Is this the cry of our heart to Almighty God? And worthy is the Lamb, the one who put himself on a cross for you and I, that we would just in our hearts, whether it is in a worship service, whether it is in your car, whether it is in your home, whether it is anywhere, at any time, at any place, worthy, worthy, worthy. Let me join with the angels and say, Jesus, you are worthy. You are the Lamb who was slain to receive riches and honor and glory and might, to receive power. Oh, man, you're amazing. Because we would actually see and understand the glory of God. The majesty, the splendor, the excellence, the power, the authority of God. And Christ is that image. And Satan wants to do everything in his power. If it's that important, if it's the thing that Satan wants to blind minds and eyes to, then gang, it is everything. Because when people's eyes and minds are open to the splendor, the majesty, and the excellence of God, Romans 1 says, The reason God gives that no man will be without an excuse is based on his splendor of creation. And if Satan can blind the eyes and the minds to never recognize that that splendor of creation was what God has done, then that mind is blinded to who God really is and the image of Christ on a cross for them. This is huge. The heart that worships recognizes the glory of God. Psalm 99, please. The Lord reigns. Look at this. Again, that scene in heaven. Understand, the Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. When you understand the magnificence and the power of God, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name, for holy is he. Let them praise your great and awesome name, for holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. For holy, this is you and I to join in with the angels to declare that he is holy and that his name is great. And to that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is great. Now look at this. Look at Psalm 95 says this. For the Lord is a great God. I have to hit this over and over and over that you see it. Gang, we could go over and over and over and over and over and be here for 3 weeks on one point about his magnificence, about how God describes himself so you and I get the proper picture of who he really is. but I got this point. So this is the deal. For the Lord is great. He is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountain are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it. His hands formed the dry land. Come. Now look at the result. When you recognize, when one recognized the splendor, the majesty, the majestic, the great creator, that he spoke and it became the dry lands, the mountains, the seas, what's the result? What's the natural response? Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Look at Psalm 97, says this. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let many islands be glad. That's the coastlands. Look at this, clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His light, look at this, his lightning lit up the world. Wow! His lightning lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, the whole earth, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. Folks, his glory, when we understand his glory, you see it from beginning to end, and its power and its authority and what it means to those who are his, to recognize and understand his glory. Psalm 104 says this, last one. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You, look at this. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Do we get the right picture of our God? You are clothed. It is all around you. Splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light. I mean, wow. It was something like, yeah, this kind of this brilliance, this jasper stone, this crystal sea. It was like, it was just brilliant. Covering yourself with light as a cloak, stretching out heaven like a tent curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. This is God. He makes the wind his messengers, flaming fire his ministers. He establishes the earth upon its foundation so that it will never totter. This is the deal. People can say, oh, the earth is moving and we're going to have this huge thing because the earth is going to slam into. I'm sorry, God says that I've created, I put it where it's supposed to be, and it is never going to totter forever and ever. I don't give a rip what the best scientist on this planet ever says. God tells me that the earth here will always be where? Here. It will never move. It will never totter because that's what God said. Because that's what God said. We look at this and we understand and recognize that God in all his splendor and all his majesty, the heart that recognizes it and sees it is a heart that worships. Point number two is this. Folks, this is what God has put in my heart for this church. I want to have a release in worship. I want us to have a release. When we understand his majesty and his holiness and his power, his authority, that we would have a release in worship. That might mean a Sunday morning. That might mean our Saturday night services. But I'm talking about as the people of Believer's Chapel, the ones who come to the church, whether you are at home, whether you're in your car, whether you're in a hospital bed, whether you're in a friend's home praying for them, wherever you would find yourself, that there would be this release. You understand worship, it's not just a 25, 30-minute deal on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night. You got to get this, please. Because I want you to see this. What I mean by a release in worship, when you know that we are coming before God, even on a weekend service, we're asking God, let your presence be known in this place. God, you are everything. You are great. You are magnificent. We are your people. We've come in to gather here to bless you and to thank you and to praise you and to honor you. And gang, look at this is the deal. When we see this, when we understand this, when there is a true release in worship, we come in If you could put up Psalm 29, please. We come in, ascribe, that means give to the Lord. O sons of the mighty, give to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that's due his name. Give God the glory that's due his name. Worship the Lord in the holy array. That means worship the Lord in the holy of holies. Worship the Lord in his presence. We come in to give glory and to praise and to honor God because God deserves it. But gang, it should be our delight. It shouldn't be something that it is because we have to. Oh, this is our time. We've got to give glory to God. He deserves it. What? It should be our delight. God, you are everything to me. God, I come to worship you. You are amazing. You are everything. Thank you for my salvation. I will be completely lost with it. God, it is my delight to bless you. It is my delight to worship you. It is my delight to clap and to sing and to shout and to praise you. God, it should be the delight of our heart to come before God in worship, in praise, and thanksgiving. We should want to in our homes. We should want to in here at church. We should want to in our cars. It should be our delight. Can't wait to get and worship you, to praise you, to bless you, to thank you, to get before you. Look at this verse, Psalm 27. This is King David, kind of a bigwig in Scripture, right? I mean, we got David, and then you've got, you know, wow, one thing. This is what David says. One thing. Everybody say one thing. Get it. One thing I have asked from the Lord. Man after God's own heart. We covered this a little bit ago. Recognized just who David was and his integrity and his power and his authority as king. He says, the one thing I ask, this is how this delight comes in. Get this, please. The one thing I ask from the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. You know what the beauty of the Lord is? That's his presence. This is what he says. The one thing that I ask from God is that I will always be able to come into his presence. I will always be able to go to the temple and always be able. The one thing I want most is to be in the sanctuary, is to be in the temple, is to be in that place where worship is taking place, where the presence of God is. That's the one thing that I desire most in all of my life, is to come to that place of worship, to be in the presence of God. That was his one desire. Gang, it was his delight. It was his desire to come and worship and get before God. This is the best news, gang. This is huge. This is huge. I want you to see this. I got to turn here. Please just listen to this, because this is awesome. When you recognize Old Testament, you recognize the chief priest, the high priest, you recognize the common people, and you recognize where is it that they found the presence of God. What is David talking about here? He says, I would have to go to the sanctuary and go to the temple to come into the presence of God. The common people go to the outer court. The priest would go into this inner court, the holies, the holy of holies. And then the chief priest would go into the most holy of holies. That's where the presence of God would be found, as the most holy of holies. This is what they had to do. They had to be systematic and functional and traditional to get into the literal presence of God. Amazing. Incredible. Jesus shows up. Jesus changes everything, gang. He changes everything. This is huge. I want you to see this. Look at this. So that when we come to this point in our lives, it is not just coming into a worship service such as Believer's Chapel. It is not just putting on a tape in your car. It is not just putting on music and having our signs of our hand raised high, or our clapping our hands. Or look at this. This is the deal. This is huge. Hebrews 10 verse 19 says this, therefore, brethren, since we have a confidence to enter the holy place. This is to the New Testament church. We have a confidence that we can now enter. What's the holy place? That's the presence of God. We now have access to the presence of God. And it says, by the blood of Jesus. When Jesus showed up, everything changed. Look at this. By a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that was his flesh. Look at this, is the deal. When Jesus was hanging on a cross, and the end of the whole thing, and Jesus took his last breath, bowed his head, gave up his spirit, God showed up in an unbelievable, amazing way to seal the deal, where there was a massive earthquake. Bodies were raised up, dead people walking around. And then this amazing thing took place in the temple, where this veil, it's about 60 feet tall, 30 feet wide, the veil that separated the presence of God from everybody else. This thing was ripped and torn in two. Saying, now, because of what Jesus did for you and I. We have confidence that we can enter into his presence anywhere we go. When we are on a hospital bed, we can enter his presence and say, God, you are great. And you are majestic. And I could just see that scene in heaven, and there's just lightning, and there's thunder, and there's millions. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and might, honor, glory, all. And then there is just something that takes place when we delight in the presence of God, when we delight in who he is and what he's done for us, when we delight in the relationship that we have with him. There is something amazing that takes place, whether you are in a hospital bed, whether you're in the worst circumstance of your life, whether you're in a church service, whether you're in your car on your way to work. Because of what Jesus has done for us, because that veil no longer exists, there is no, folks, this is huge, there is no separation from me in the presence of God. We recognize and understand his glory and how just truly how great he is. And we recognize that you deserve it, but God, that is my delight. I know you and I thank you for what you, it is my desire, it is my delight to come in and worship you. Okay, it would be horrible if it's my anniversary, I buy Renee flowers and I bring them to her and said, here, this is what I have to do today. Yeah, the flowers were there. The lip service is there. The action is there. But the heart is so way off. Ah, this is what, it's our anniversary, this is what I have to do it today. Or it's like, you are the most amazing wife, you are the most amazing woman on this planet. It has been 19 amazing, incredible years, year after year after year. It gets better and better and better. Thank you so much for being my wife. I love to buy flowers. I love, thank you. Huge difference. One is duty, because I have to, because she deserves it, so I should. Or it's my delight. I thank you. You are amazing. Thank you for being my wife and putting up with who I am. Thank you for doing everything and sacrificing so much for the people of this church. Thank you. And thank you for sticking with me. Thank you for being the best mom in the whole world. Thank you for raising up our kids. Thank you for staying home with our kids. Which one you think she's going to receive with great joy and be excited? My husband takes delight in me. Yeah, he should buy me flowers on my anniversary. But more than that, he takes a delight. He can't wait. He looks forward to it. Which one do you think we should be before God in our worship, folks? It's that we would come before him. The Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy. Next week, well, there was a third point, but we will kick it next week. Brandon, you come up, man. We are done. Well, we recognize that in him, in Christ, when we come into a place of worship, the heart that worships recognizes that I am complete, I am fulfilled, and I'm satisfied because of Christ. Not because of my circumstance, not because of my bank account, not because even because of my marriage. My wife is amazing, but I am not complete and fulfilled and satisfied just because of Renee. I could have Renee, and if I don't have Christ, I lack everything. When we look at Jesus in a proper way of what worship really is, when we come before his presence and understand how great he is, understand his glory, understand that I am releasing myself in worship, that I come in as a delight because I am complete. You are which satisfies me. You are which completes me. You are which makes me fulfilled in every area of my life. And in that, circumstances are not going to get you. Tribulation and trials are not going to get you, because that is all temporary here and there. But when we are complete and satisfied and fulfilled because of Jesus, Jesus never changes. Jesus' work is complete. Jesus' work is done. And that, when we see it biblically, we are complete and satisfied in him. Folks, let's stand, please. Father, I thank you for this morning. God, help us to get a glimpse. Begin to reveal yourself to us through your word. God, begin to show us who you are. Begin to show us, God, that we would just see how magnificent you are and how great you are. how awesome you are, that we would see it. And it would change our worship. If anyone needs prayer, man, we'd love to pray with you this morning. Come on.